Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the IA Cast. My name is Aaliyah, and yes, I am going to be your host today, kind of changing the chairs around a little. Today, we have a bunch of folks. I have Mr. Michael Dowies.
I'm actually in the same chair, but just a different role today. Hello, everyone.
Mr. Jason Earls.
Hello, and I have to ask, was that an office chair joke? A different role.
Oh,
wheels
oh
on
my.
The chair.
Oh my!
No.
Get off the show, Mr. Jeff Bishop.
Hello, everyone.
Mr. Scott Van Gorp.
Hello, everyone.
Miss Chelsea Page.
Hello, everyone.
Miss Megan Hargrave.
Good day, everybody.
And Miss Sarah Lanier.
Hi, everyone.
I think I got everybody. Did I do it?
I believe you did.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yep. Yay.
All right. Today, we're going to have a very different topic from what we normally talk about after our break today. To get started, I want to talk about some news. And that first bit of news is that Twitterific for iOS has been updated to version 6 with a lot of accessibility improvements and general feature improvements as well. It seems that you'll now be pestered with ads in the app. If you were a Twitterific 5 user and you'd paid for it, it won't do that for 6 months, but you will have ads in the app and then an option to purchase. So lots of different things coming.
Is a subscription, by the way.
It is.
It's 99 cents a month. They do have a $30 option that you can purchase for a one-time fee. So if you want to do that, you can do that as well.
I
thought that was a subscription too. I must have misread the article. Yeah.
That's not bad. That's as much as it is on the Mac, so not a big deal.
I really like two features that are in Twitterific 6, specifically related to VoiceOver. The first one is Magic Tap now brings you right into the compose screen, so you can compose a tweet.
That's really neat.
And then the one I really like is now when you see media attached to a Twitter post, you'll be able to know exactly what type of media it is. If it's a video, if it's audio, you know, that's really nice. Before, to just try to open it and figure out. So it could have been an image, it just could have been anything. So that's really nice.
Yeah, and also one of the new features that they do have is autoplay of videos in the timeline. But for right now, and the default setting is that those videos play without audio. So for those of us who don't really want to be bombarded with audio stuff and who only want to listen to audio if we say so, that is definitely a bonus.
I understand why, you know, we are moving towards a subscription model. I get it, but I don't like it.
Maybe they'll make enough money so that they can get those nice shiny APIs for us and, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, but guys, developers got to be able to put food on the table.
I know.
Well, yeah, I know. Why we moved to subscriptions. It makes sense. You know, developers do got to make money.
You could pay the $30 and be done with it. I mean,
I'm actually considering
you'll save $6.
I'm considering doing that.
It's kind of $35 if you've already bought Twitterific 5.
Well, yeah, but that was a long time ago.
I'm considering actually making the purchase just to support the developers because they make really good stuff.
They do.
Well, see, that's the thing, right? I will go out of my way to purchase an app, even if, you know, it's one I may not use very often. If a developer has gone out of their way to make sure they've made it accessible, and not just that they've made, you know, buttons labeled and all of that, but they've really put forth an effort. And Twitterific has been stellar at really making sure that their apps have been accessible.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I wonder if some of these features are going to end up making it to the Mac app through Project Catalyst. I wonder if they're going to end up doing that, or if they're going to keep the Mac app separate.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
And on top of that, how will that affect a subscription if they don't keep it separate? Will you end up paying two subscription fees, or will you just pay the one fee?
Well, right now, the Mac is a one-time purchase.
Yeah, my guess it will be both apps will work across platform.
Yeah,
your Apple ID will manage both Mac app and the iOS app if they go that way.
Yeah, but interestingly, in-app purchases won't work between family members if you have family sharing, so that's a bit unfortunate.
I was wondering about that to see if that would work.
Yeah, so Let's go ahead and move on. Sarah, you had something that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I did. There was a news story from Fox News about a woman in North Carolina who was concerned about her daughter. She had not returned home as expected. And so mom used a GPS tracking app that she had installed on her phone that her daughter also had. The article did not mention what specific app this was. Mom was able to track her daughter and get help for her because she found her pinned under her car. It was a mountainous area, and the article didn't detail exactly what happened, but the focus of the article was how the GPS actually helped mom find her and get her the help that she needed. So one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up and talk about it is, you know, we've talked before about different safety issues and things of that nature with like Uber and that sort of stuff. And I know for myself, there are several times that Find My Friends has been really helpful for me because my friends have been able to tell where I was and better give me directions to get me out of a jam. So I think GPS trackers and having a GPS tracking app on your phone and knowing some people that have access to that and that you share that information with are very important security measures for us all to take.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't even think this is just a blindness thing. With the introduction of all the technologies that we use today and with ride sharing apps and with so many other what they call gig economy apps, which are kind of shared apps, you're dealing with folks that may or may not have been well vetted. And so it's kind of important to have somebody else know where you are and what you're up to. And so if you don't check in as expected, if you've taken that Uber or that Lyft, then they will be able to take a look at an app and see where you are. Also, those share trip status buttons in the Lyft and Uber apps are very useful if you don't want to have somebody constantly having your location access for you. And one of the things that some people might not know about is if you use iMessage, there is an option to temporarily share your location with somebody. Now, it's a bit of a battery drain because location services working in the background drain your battery just a bit, but it is useful to have access to. What's everybody else think about this?
Scott and I, we've used the Find My Friends app, but then something that we use a lot, and then even I actually told my mom about it. She created a family circle. So now it's like her and my aunt and a few other family members that are in the circle, but it's called Live 360. And so now I haven't used it as much lately because they have some voiceover bugs that they need to fix. But it will do things like say, okay, that person needs to plug in their phone. They've only got 10% battery remaining, that sort of thing. But it's a good app because, like, you can actually look at it and say, oh, that person is near, I don't know, Beechwood Restaurant. So it's like, it's really a good app.
Yeah, and there are lots of different apps like this that work cross-platform that don't just have to be iOS. Mm-hmm. And even some that will work in a browser. So it's very, very key, I think, you know, moving around and doing things that you're able to communicate with somebody where you are in case something does happen.
Yeah. Aaliyah, I also want to point out that with the sharing your location, you can drop a map pin. So say, for example, you are at a friend's house and you need someone to come and pick you up, you can text them and say, hey, I need you to come get me. This is where I am. And you can go to share my location and send your current location,
yes,
which will just drop a map pin right there so that your friends or whoever you sent the text message to can easily locate you through Apple Maps or Google Maps or whatever they use.
Right. And it's super, super convenient. I think at least Apple has done a really nice job of implementing. I'm not as familiar with tools for Android, but I know that they do exist.
And I believe each Android platform have their own tools. Like Samsung has their, I don't know what they're called, but they have their own tools. Google probably has their own. And there's a plethora of tools in the Google Play Store.
Michael, doesn't the Google Trusted Contacts app also do this as well? And it's cross-platform, so it works on iOS as well as Android.
I have not played with that. It's called Google Trusted Contacts?
Yeah, it's called Trusted Contacts.
I'm going to look into that. I have not used that, and I really want to check that out now.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Anybody else have any thoughts on this?
So, it's really interesting because you have a lot of stories, Google and Apple doing funny things with your GPS data in the background. And, it's nice to see stories that center on how useful GPS data can be, whether it's like this story, the woman's daughter being trapped under the pinned under the car in Carolina, or if it's, Apple Watch GPS data or something being able to help save somebody's life, or it's nice to hear the good aspects of having GPS trackers in our pocket, essentially, or on our arm.
Yeah, absolutely. And, as bad as these devices can be in these companies, it goes to show that if you pick a company you trust with your data, the power of that data is immense. Megan, did you have any thoughts on this?
Not really. I just find it really interesting that it actually gave her that precise location.
It's kind of amazing how close you can get.
I was just gonna say, even if it wasn't right on top of the car, I mean, at least obviously it got her close enough to see the car and to check around the car and under the car. So
yeah, and
the article didn't
GPSs
mention
don't.
I'm sorry, Megan, the article didn't mention exactly how close she was, but it did say that she saw tire tracks and then she saw the car. And she said the GPS got her close enough to see the tire tracks. I know that accuracy has come a long way, even since I started using GPS for navigation in the early 2000s.
Well, the thing to remember about GPS is, the term GPS these days is more of a generalization. We say iPod for MP3 player, Coca-Cola for soda, or different things like that to represent a type of thing. And so it's not all GPS. You have your GPS signal. You have your signal bouncing off your cell towers. You have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth now to triangulate location. So that's the one thing that's so nice about these tracking devices is we have more than just GPS to give us a good signal on getting a fix on people.
Yeah, and I believe that's actually referred to as assisted GPS, if I remember correctly, right?
I believe so.
What I think is amazing is we've gone from GPS devices that you have to have in a backpack to GPS devices that you can hold in your hand and take a selfie with.
We have another story, and I think it might make Michael cry. That big, shiny, nice new MacBook Pro that's sitting out in the living room, according to the rumor mills, might be so last year. This fall.
You mean last 6 months?
Yeah.
Well,
so
I was gonna say,
last
not
half
last
a
year.
Year.
So early 2019.
Yeah. There are rumored MacBooks coming, more of them, which is interesting because the 13-inch MacBook Pro didn't get updated very much this time around. It was the 15 inches that got the big push in processor power and things like that. So I'm wondering if we're not going to see some of that in the 13 inches. Would be amazing if we saw a complete keyboard revamp. I'm still hoping. A girl can dream. But
Apple just may dash your dreams.
Shush. I am clinging on
no,
to
they
my...
May...
I am clinging onto my 2015 MacBook Pro for dear life until it dies.
Well, no, they're not going to dash your dreams. They're going to dash 0 equals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, because all your other keys are going to be sticking.
Law.
That's what they're going to do to your dreams.
Wow.
It's very interesting, nonetheless, because what is it, like 7 Macs are rumored to be announced
7.
Later this year?
Yeah, that's more than just the 13 inches getting boosts.
Yeah, so I wonder if that means we're going to see new iMacs, new 13-inch Pros.
No, I thought we were talking about
new
just MacBooks.
Or
that's
not
iMacs,
sorry.
MacBooks.
I meant
Maybe a bump to the Air, maybe?
Yeah.
See, maybe. I'm betting that we're going to see new upgrades to the original MacBook line, you know, just called the MacBook. I'm betting we're going to see upgrades to the MacBook Air and upgrades to the 13-inch variant. I don't see them putting out an update in just 3 months on the 15. I don't see it. It doesn't make sense. Like, why not wait 3 months? You know?
Yeah.
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 And I don't know that the 13-inch MacBook Air is just, I don't want to be a party pooper, but I don't think we're going to see 8-core CPUs in the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Sorry, I know I said Air before, but I meant Pro. I would love it, and I will be very glad to be wrong.
And now that we've taken a dive into the latest news from this week, including a visit to the rumor mill, which we normally don't do, but...
Oh, we do occasionally.
Well, occasionally. We do not put much stock in them. Of course, nobody knows what Apple's going to do until Apple does it. So...
Oh, just like this rumor that they were going to get rid of 3D Touch. And that's, we don't know. We're seeing, I believe Apple made a statement that they are not getting rid of 3D Touch. I forgot about that.
It would be interesting to find an article about that because...
Yeah, it would.
It's still around in the beta.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I believe Craig Federighi said that that it is not going away. So we'll have an article about that in the show notes.
Yeah. I wonder if what they're going to do, though, is redesign it, like, you know, using different components or something to achieve the same effect. Because I don't want 3D Touch to go away. It's too useful.
No, I love my 3D Touch.
Yeah, it can't go away.
No, it's not allowed. So says the dog.
Right? iAccessibility has spoken, Apple. Hear us.
Even guide dogs.
Even my dog
it.
Said that it can't go away.
Who has been in YouTube videos, by the way, folks.
She
so
has.
If you go to our YouTube page, you could see Whitley being cute.
All right. So now that we've covered all the news for this week, I want to take a moment to talk about iAccessibility's training program. And we have a group of wonderful trainers who can teach you all about many different areas of technology involving your iOS devices, iPads, Macs, Windows PCs, blindness-specific devices like note takers and Victor readers and things like that, and many other things, including application development and web design. We offer many, many services through our training program and only charge $18 an hour for them, so very competitive rates. We would love it if you would check out all of the services we have to offer at iaccessibility.net/training.
And the first hour is free.
Yes, indeed. With your purchase of any bundle of training hours, your first hour is free. We'd like to provide a brief introduction to the section we're about to cover. On this episode, we talked about different myths regarding Aira. And when we recorded this episode, we had a few questions that we wanted to have answered. But instead of waiting to record the show, we just went ahead and recorded the section, and since we had all of our crew there, it was a great success. You're going to hear some things that we're not quite sure about. We will provide answers to those questions at the end of the show, along with some other clarifications that we have received. All right, so now on to the real meat of the show. That is, we're going to be talking in a few episodes throughout the next little bit about Aira and the different things that it can do for you as a blind person. So, I'm going to start off with a brief description. For those of you who didn't listen to our last show about Aira, which has been a while back, we did a very in-depth coverage of the service. But we're going to step back and just go to the basics of Aira, what it is and what it isn't, and kind of do some Aira myth-busting, as it were. You know... Jason, I know you like explosions, but I don't think that's going to happen today.
But I wanted to be Adam.
Ah, I'm sorry.
I love Mythbusters, just saying.
Blow that up on your own time.
But that's what we do if we're Mythbusters. I mean, come on now. You blow stuff up on your own on your Mythbusting time.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, since you're the editor,
you make cars fly.
If you want to insert an explosion sound, I guess. Anyway,
let's not.
No,
don't tempt him like that.
we are blowing something up. We're blowing the misconceptions away. We're blowing the myths away.
I guess. Yeah.
There you go.
I guess it works.
Yeah. See, everybody's happy. Jason gets his explosions and we can move on. To give people an idea who aren't familiar, IRA is a service that pairs blind people with specially trained agents through a camera on a smartphone or through a set of glasses. And those agents are able to describe what is around the blind person. The agents can help with basic everyday tasks such as navigating new places, identifying different food items, even helping out at the gym. I've used IRA for that as well. Really, the possibilities with IRA are limitless. If you think that it's only good for travel, it's not. It's certainly goes well beyond that, like helping with inaccessible websites, helping with a bunch of other tasks. So we have several explorers and a couple of non-explorers on here on this podcast today. So explorers, myself, Megan, Chelsea, Scott, and Jeff are all explorers. I want to spend some time talking to each of you about some of the unique things that you've used IRA for. So Chelsea, what about you?
I have used IRA for several different tasks. One thing that comes to mind is clothes matching. Does this blue shirt match the blue that's in this multicolored skirt? That sort of thing. Reading documents at work, from confidential files to just advertisements that get put in your staff mailboxes, to navigating to find somewhere, vending machines. Another thing that I also use IRA for is even things like if I'm in a meeting at work and they're doing a presentation and it's a really important one and they didn't send it out in electronic format, then IRA has this really awesome feature where you can say, you can call with a text message and ask them to describe the slides to you. Another thing that I also use it for is dance recitals. My niece had a dance recital and I actually went live with it. So Scott was able to actually use my live code and watch the dance recital as well. And that was pretty neat. And so, and then I know I'm backtracking a little bit, but one thing about using IRA with work materials is they have a good confidentiality policy. So as opposed to other apps and, you know, other people, random people, you don't have to worry about confidential documents being shared with other people or any of that. So, and IRA is a reasonable accommodation to request in the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And briefly to talk about what Chelsea mentioned with IRA Live, and you can actually share the audio of your IRA session either with a select group of people through a code or publicly with other explorers through the app. So it's a really neat way for people to kind of experience what you're doing at a given time. Scott, what about you? We haven't heard from you in a while. What unique things have you used IRA for?
So IRA has gotten me out of more than a couple of jams with my work computer. The way the system is set up, when you first log in, the screen reader is not present. And so there have been a couple of times I've been locked out. They've helped me get back in there. I use it a lot around the apartment complex when there are notices on the doors. Management posts things on the outside doors or on the apartment doors. A lot of times I don't want to wait around to get someone in here to read those. I can very easily just point the camera at the notice and get the information read very, very quickly. So it's great for that. Actually had an interesting experience a couple of weeks ago when I was requesting a lift. It happened to be the second lift trip that I had taken with my new seeing eye dog, and the driver was, well, we'll just say less than professional, and there was video to back up everything that I turned in to Lyft and to the National Federation of the Blind's rideshare report form. It can be used to document something like that. That probably be some of the most recent stuff that I've been using it for.
And Jeff, what about you?
I've used Aira for all kinds of things. Travel, I think, has been the most just amazing experience with Aira for me. I've been in a lot of different hotels and airports and things, and just being able to independently move around in them and not have to worry about, you know, getting someone to assist me to get from gate to gate and all that has just been amazing. I've used Aira for reading things. I've used Aira for checking on, even pills that may have fallen on the floor. That was a little fun to find. But they've been able to do that too. So I've used it for all kinds of things, and it's been a lifesaver. Yeah, I love it.
Awesome. Megan, what about you?
So like everybody else, I've used Aira for a lot of things. Primarily travel for me, personally. Mostly for when I've been in a situation where I don't know where something is, or I'm looking for some place, my GPS says I'm close, but I can't seem to find it, and people are not helpful on the streets. But I also use it for, you know, different things at work, like determining whether the document is facing the right direction or whatever. I have used it to color identify my shirts, because they are different colors, like everybody else's shirts.
I thought you wore all one color, Megan.
No, I don't, actually. Also used it for when my technology isn't working. Lots of other things. So it's a very handy thing to have around. I think it's good.
All right, let's get to the myth busting and make Jason happy. So the first myth that a lot of people talk about when they talk about Aira is that it's too expensive. And from the outset, yes, it could look that way. Because you're paying a price per month for a certain number of minutes. And that price starts at $29 for 30 minutes, $99 for 120 minutes, and $199 for 300 minutes. Now, each of those plans has its own perks, but all of them offer some consistent things that could make Aira very, very inexpensive. There's even a guest plan, which takes advantage of most of the free offers that I'm about to talk about. The first of these is Aira Site Access Locations, and these are locations where your use of Aira does not count against your minutes. These can be locations like, for example, Walgreens. All of the Walgreens locations in the U.S. are site access points. So you can go in and use Aira for free at those locations. Also, many airports are site access points. The consumer conventions this summer, ACB and NFB, are going to be site access locations as well. So you can really get a lot of use out of Aira in those locations. So it's really cool. One of the other things that make Aira very inexpensive is the different offers that are out there. For example, you can get assistance if your JAWS has frozen up on a certain place on your computer where it would normally work. You can get Aira to help you get out of that, because sometimes it can be difficult to restart JAWS and get it working again. So Aira will help you with that through a partnership with Vispero. Another one is their small business offer. So entrepreneurs who are starting their own businesses can use Aira for business-related tasks at no cost. Recently, Aira just partnered with Boston Transit so that the entirety of the MBTA is a site access location. So places even that aren't big airports or, you know, crazy complicated things can be site access points too. Anybody heard of any other big ones that I'm missing?
AT&T. Well,
that's right. The AT&T stores are site access points as well.
Yeah, I was going to say convention, but you had already covered convention, so.
Even the guest account has access to most of these features. I believe the small business offer is not available to the guest accounts. And I'm not entirely sure. There has been some talk about whether or not the JAWS offer is available to the guest accounts as well. But all of the site access points definitely are. And if, for example, you have Aira as an accommodation for your work, you don't you know, you would have a work profile that you could then use to utilize Aira without using your own personal minutes.
Aaliyah, you may have touched on this, but you mentioned the small business offering, but isn't there a program that they offer for job seekers?
Yes, the Aira Employment Program.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, that's a big one. Good point, Michael. If you are doing tasks related to finding a job, that means writing a resume or traveling to a job interview or different things like that, that can be covered under a program as well. So many, many ways to make Aira even more inexpensive to you.
That the employment program has been a lifesaver. I've used it several times. And just the other day, for instance, talking about the site access, just doing things like needing a gallon of milk. Well, we go to Walgreens. I told, you know, I was with family and I'm like, I know your knee's hurting, so just stay in the car. I'll run in and grab it. And Walgreens is a site access location. So just use that and there we go.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And for some students, also, there is a program which it's called the Aira Back to School Program, where you can apply to receive free Aira throughout the school year. So incredibly useful for students like me who are on a budget and really just can't afford any of the other plans. And so it's really, really neat. I have been a back to school recipient, and one of our other frequent contributors, Lauren Bishop, has as well. So many, many ways to make Aira much less cost prohibitive for you as a user. With all of these methods, you could buy a smaller plan than you might otherwise need to.
For me, I was an explorer and I actually left the service because of the expense. But now that they have the $30 plan, I have been and still am looking into. Because if I go to Walgreens, which is already free, but if I go to another store and I want to look for something, the one thing that I enjoyed was, you know, I went to Walgreens to look for soap. And I knew where generally it was because I've picked it up before. But all I had to do is point my phone at it and say, okay, which one is the one I'm looking for, and tell them. And they're like, move your hand to the left, move your hand to the left, there you go. It's that simple. You know, 2 to 3 minutes. And if that's all you need as a low vision user or somebody that doesn't use Aira often, it's great. It will save you so much time. And when you're on a busy schedule, time is important. That's why I'm considering it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can go on the website today, aira.io, and create a free account so that when you go to a Walgreens and you want to have the experience of using Aira, you can. Also, there is a 7-day free trial as well that you can use. I believe it's up to 30 minutes in that 7 days to try Aira for free. So really, really cool opportunities. The second myth I want to talk about related to Aira is that a lot of people think that those who use Aira are too dependent on it and their skills aren't what they could be. And for me, I've been through an NFP training center. I like to think that I'm very independent. I like to think that I'm very capable with my skills. I want to state that never at any point has Aira itself been the cause of me losing any of my skills or not depending on them. Aira is meant to be a supplement to the information you can already gain. And in fact, if you are outside of your normal living area and do not have your mobility aid, they will not assist you because it's just too dangerous. There can be brief lags in the video feed that mean that what the agent is seeing is not quite in sync with your footsteps. So they may not be able to communicate about an obstacle that you should be able to find with your cane quickly enough for you to go around it without it. Aira is not liable for your skills. You still must know how to cross a street. You still must know how to use your chosen mobility tool. Aira is just a supplement. Now, of course, there are ways that a service can be misused, but when used properly, properly, Aira is a supplement to your information that you can already collect.
Essentially, Aira is a tool. I mean, it involves real people, but Aira is a tool. Your cane is a tool. But your cane is a tool that's essential. Aira is a supplement that can enhance what you're doing. But again, just like everything else, they're tools. You don't rely on one tool more than the other to get the job done.
Right. I could beat somebody over the head with my cane and be misusing it. You know, just like you could misuse the information that Aira provides. But the important thing is using these tools properly with each other.
An example that I would give for that is even to this day, if I'm walking in an unfamiliar area. So, yes, I went to, as Aaliyah did, I went to an NFB training center and like to think of myself as a very independent person. But I also have cerebral palsy. So with that, I'm always trying to find, okay, where's the ramp? Where's, you know, or, okay, if I'm going to go this way, you know, is there lots and lots of steps without handrails? So that's where Aira has really came in handy as far as travel goes. And even last year at convention, broke ankle. Yeah, trying to dodge a bunch of people.
Yeah, absolutely. There are many, many ways, infinite ways, that Aira can be used to help each person individually. I want to get perspectives from other people. I've talked about a couple of things. And I know that Jason, you and Sarah and Michael probably have some other myths and or misconceptions that you have heard about Aira. And it would be interesting to get other explorers' thoughts on these.
So one of the myths that I've heard is that Aira is only for big adventure types of things. If you aren't a big adventure type of person, Aira is not necessarily going to work for you. And I think, you know, we had already sort of started debunking this myth when we were talking about, you know, using Aira at, say, Walgreens, for instance. Chelsea, with your using it for reading some files and stuff for your work.
Does one of you want to take this one?
I'll take it. So I had an incident, or actually not an incident, but a situation here recently where something as simple as finding out which medication I was going to give my dog, which one was which. There were two different ones I was going to use for a monthly preventative, and I didn't want to give the wrong dose of the wrong one. I could have used one of the other tools, Seeing AI, KNFB Reader, whatever. I wanted to make sure I got the information quickly and efficiently and with as minimal time as it would take. And I knew that Aira would get it to me probably the fastest of, you know, most of the tools that I have. So I called up an agent on a Saturday morning. It's really nice that they're now 24/7 because you can call them at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Find out which medication you happen to have in your hand and give it to the dog and move on.
Another thing I just wanted to say, that we were talking about how a lot of blind people could become dependent on Aira, and I don't think it's a good idea that people become dependent on them, but I think it's a very good tool to have in your toolbox. Like Scott just said, if you want to do something quickly, like you don't have time to fiddle around with Seeing AI or a KNFB Reader or whatever, you can use Aira and have it done a little bit more efficiently, if that makes sense. So I think it's a really good tool to have in your toolbox.
Absolutely.
I do have one direct question, because I don't know how much you're able to use it, but Jeff, do you use Aira for work or at home? I don't remember if you talked about your use case for Aira.
Yeah, I talked about it earlier in the podcast, but as far as work is concerned, Michael, I am not using Aira at work, at least in the buildings. And that's mainly due to, you know, privacy concerns and things that cannot be shared outside of what I do, non-disclosures and things of that nature. There are some restrictions that do not allow me to use Aira fully, you know, in my workplace. But I can use it when I travel around the campus. So, for example, if I you know, I'm going to a different building or you know, something like that, or I'm going to, say, the cafeteria, and it's really, really noisy because of my slight hearing loss, sometimes that can be a little challenging. So that's where Ira really can, you know, Ira can really help, you know, navigate and actually be able to find things more efficiently.
Awesome. Jeff brings up a fantastic point there. For those of us who do have a hearing loss, Ira has really been a game changer in a lot of ways when it comes to dealing with crowds or even at times dealing with traffic, just to make sure that we're judging our crossings correctly at intersections. It's nice to have that reassurance and that backup that, yes, you made the right judgment call.
Not to mention large hotels with really, really open venues and things like that where they're very echoey. Sometimes that can be seriously challenging. So that has really helped. Yeah, well, I think you're going to be okay there, but of course, Ira will really help in Vegas. But I can think of, you know, like the Hyatts and some of the Marriotts that have really giant open, you know, lobbies and really long hallways that, you know, or really long lobbies where you're going from one side of the hotel to the other to different, you know, parts of towers and things of that nature. Man, oh man, especially when we were in San Diego, that was significantly challenging.
Oh, yeah.
And Ira was pivotal to being able to get around there. At least it was for me.
All right, folks. Jason or Sarah or Michael, are there any other things that you've heard?
So,
I've heard.
Go ahead, Sarah.
I was going to say, I've heard connection issues are a problem.
Yeah, so have I. Like, the equipment isn't reliable. Stuff like that, I've heard.
Let's see, Chelsea or Megan or Jeff, you want to take this?
I haven't found that, honestly. There have been a few instances where I've had connection issues, but a lot of that, I can say, is either carrier related. So if you're trying to connect via your smartphone, that could be a carrier issue. I know in some businesses, schools, workplaces, the security settings on the Wi-Fi network will not let you connect unless you turn your Wi-Fi off. So that's kind of the Wi-Fi bit on the phone. And yes, like all things, I mean, just like a FaceTime call drops. Occasionally, you'll have an Ira call drop. But it really, I haven't experienced that. Maybe someone else can elaborate on their experiences, but me personally have not.
Well, I can tell you, since I got my Horizon kit, I have had less of this problem.
Absolutely.
Same here.
Yeah, before, it was a real problem. In the hotels, for example, in San Diego, that was almost impossible at times, depending upon, you know, the time of day and how many people were using the network and things like that, where it would get really bogged down. You're dealing with lots of issues here. You're dealing with, if you're on the Wi-Fi network of the hotel, you're not always getting the best performance out of the network. If you're at a convention or you're in a big city and you have, you know, LTE, then that can get congested. It just depends. So you're really, this is not really an Ira problem as much as it is a networking issue, either on Wi-Fi or LTE. But I think that the Horizon devices themselves have greatly solved this problem, at least for the most part. I will say that on occasion I've had a problem, but boy, I don't even think I can count on one hand how many times I've had a problem. Whereas, you know, with the older glasses, boy, it was much more frequent.
Now, I actually have a question, speaking of equipment. Maybe you guys know the answer to this, maybe not, but is there anything that you, like, say an iPhone user, you know, say an iPhone user wants to use Ira, they don't feel that they need the or want the Horizon kit. Are there any glasses that you can use with the iPhone that still work with, that will work with Ira, whether that's over Bluetooth or... Do we know of any such device? I know, you know, the Austria glasses were a thing.
They still are. You will get them by default with the plan. So it's an extra $25 a month or a $600 outright purchase to buy the Horizon kit. And so by default, if you purchase the $99 plan, or the $199 plan, you will get the Austria glasses along with a MiFi hotspot.
I actually didn't know that.
You didn't. Yes, they will.
Yep, that's a thing.
By default, will ship you the Austrias, which pair with a MiFi device, and will connect with your iPhone.
And that still is basically you're using your iPhone as the main device to start the call.
Right.
Whereas with the Horizon, it is an independent device. Now, you know, there are trade-offs for both. And one of the things I like about the Austria glasses is that they're completely independent, so you don't have a wire coming off of them. You don't have...
Yeah, no cable.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yes, no cable.
It's all based on what works best for you. And the great thing is that there are options.
Absolutely.
You know, if they just had Horizon, that would be... You know, it'd be okay. But at least there's options.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
I do think in the next, 5 years or so, we're going to see a major shift in technology, both from probably battery technology as well as camera technology and wireless technology, where we get all of this integrated into a pair of glasses. At least this is my hope and dream anyway, where we have Aira all contained in one device.
That would be amazing.
You throw a pair of glasses on,
right?
And you tap the sides of the glasses on both sides twice or something to initiate a call or some crazy thing.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be so cool because we already have eSIM technology, so we're getting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that the problem is that technology has to catch up.
Yep.
To be able to do this. And the big issue here is battery life. There's a lot of really sophisticated stuff happening here. And, you know, they're going to need to figure out a way of powering all of that more than, you know, say a couple of hours. Because really, you know, that's not enough.
And,
You mentioned
the price point with the Austria glasses being an extra $25 a month. So essentially, for that $99 plan, and I'm just rounding up because it's easier to do the math that way, you'd be paying $125 a month. How does the Horizon kit compare with that? Does it cost an additional fee as well?
So the Austria glasses come by default with the plan. The Horizon kit is what the extra cost is. There is not, other than the $25 extra added onto your plan or the $600 outright purchase, there is not any other associated costs.
Basically, the Austria glasses come with that plan. You don't have to pay extra for those. You're paying extra for the Horizon kit.
Right.
Okay, I think I misunderstood that originally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too, because it sounded like the Austria glasses were an extra $25 a month.
No, the Horizon.
No.
There are also some significant differences between the Austria glasses and the Horizon kit. The Austria glasses are a pair of glasses with a camera on the right side. They have their own battery that must be charged, and they connect to a MiFi device to get their connection. That MiFi device also must be charged. So, in total, there are three items that must be charged in order for you to use Aira. So the Horizon kit sacrifices a cable connecting the glasses to the phone that it comes with for your need to only charge one device. You can actually make an Aira call on the phone without using your iPhone's camera or battery. So the device that connects to the glasses is a Samsung smartphone that houses the Aira app. And so your connection takes place exclusively on device. Also, the big difference between the two is camera placement. On the Austria glasses, your camera is located on the right side. On the Horizon glasses, the camera is located over the bridge of your nose, giving the agent a much, much wider field of view. So it causes you to need to rotate your head a lot less.
See, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Horizon glasses look more natural.
They do. They look much less like a...
Because the camera's so heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. They look a little less nerdy. But not to say that the Austria glasses look bad, but they look a little more like your Google Glass, or which Ira also used to offer. So they look a little more techy. Of course, with the cable running down the side of your face, the Horizon ones look a little techy too. But they look a bit better, a bit more fashionable. You can also choose between the tint of your lenses with the Horizon glasses, which is really nice. I have the no tint, but some people prefer a darker.
Hey, but if you have a hoodie on and, you know, it's raining outside and you have to have your hood up or a jacket or whatever, you can't see the cable.
Yeah, that's true.
Ira is very customizable. It's very useful for a lot of different tasks. It doesn't matter if you're low vision or have no vision at all. It really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, one of the things that I'm sure a lot of people wonder, why do I need Ira and instead of using Seeing AI or KNFB Reader or OrCam or any of these other solutions? Or Be My Eyes. And I have worked with Ira. I was an explorer for a while. And I feel like that the professionalism and the training of the agents is just so much better. And they mm-hmm. are trained to be efficient and mindful and very polite, but yet also getting you the help you need. Just could somebody talk, because I've heard this before, but I'd like for somebody to talk about the agents, how, you know, what they go through and things like that.
So the agents go through a lot of training in how to give information and how to direct, you know, how to give directions without being overwhelming and how to describe a situation. They're very much trained, and Ira has very strict privacy policies and very strict policies regarding the information that they collect. And because you are sending them a video feed. One of those policies, in fact, is if you're going into a public restroom, you must turn on privacy mode. So privacy mode turns off the camera and microphone, so the agent cannot hear or see you, because recording in a public restroom is illegal. So that was one thing that they had to develop a policy around.
And see, I could see a use case scenario for where you might need help in locating the soap and the paper towel dispensers.
Yes, but at the same time, Ira's not a
replacement. I get why the policy's intact. I understand that. I'm just saying I could see where someone would not think about that if they didn't know ahead of time.
Right. Definitely, it's not a replacement for your skills.
If we could, let's talk about getting support, because naturally with all this equipment, you're going to have problems. Well, let's hope you don't have problems, but computers being computers, problems can arise. I've heard that, you know, Ira customer service isn't always the best, and I'm sure that's not true. What is it like, you know, if you do need support through Ira?
So there's a toll-free number that you can call, or there's an email address you can reach out to with an issue that you're having. Customer service representatives will get back to you as soon as possible with a solution. I recently had to call because my Horizon phone refused to update, and the support representative was able to guide me through dismissing a pop-up on the screen that caused my phone to refuse to finish up. It was very efficient support I got. The first person I talked to was the person I stayed with the entire call, and he helped me through taking care of that problem.
You know, whenever I was a explorer, whenever I was on using Ira, I had no issues with support. And I had to call them several times to make changes to my plan and do different things. And this was a year or so ago, or last year. And I never had an issue. It was perfect. I did not have any real complaints for their Ira support.
I would have to echo that. I've had a couple of times where I've had some hardware issues with the Horizon phone, and we've been able to troubleshoot them on one call. I can't say enough good about their support agents. They do a fine job. They know how to, if there's an issue with the firmware updates, they can get that taken care of. I had an incident here not too long ago where I had no speech on the Horizon phone. We hooked it up to my computer. They changed a couple of settings, and it was up and running within less than 10 minutes. I think that the support that they provide is, you know, the envy of a lot of companies.
You know, I don't know.
Just a quick aside.
Yeah, they are very efficient. Sorry, Mike.
I don't know if they've changed this or not, but my only feature request, and I hope they do change this, and they said that they were looking into it, was to allow for changes of plans and debit cards from the website. I think that's the only thing that I wish they would, you know, because whenever I was using it, you had any changes you made, you actually had to call support. And so do any of you guys know if that's been changed at all?
That's still a thing, Michael.
Yeah, it's still on the roadmap.
Okay, yeah, That's my only thing. But at the same time, it is good because a lot of users that are not familiar with the web or how to navigate a website do have the ability to make changes from Iris support, and they do a really good job at that.
Well, if they do make these changes, you know, I can't see them discontinuing their phone support, Michael, for that very reason. I think it would be good to have both options. And I was also wondering, you know, I've not used Iris before, but does that mean you also have to contact them to create an account, or is the actual account creation process something you can do in the app or on the website?
You can create an account by yourself. That's not an issue.
One thing I wish they had is the ability to make changes to your plan or whatever you need to do within the Ira app.
Yeah, that would be nice. Pretty nice.
That would be slick.
It would.
So, but otherwise, what they offer is really nice. It's effective. And what I've noticed is as soon as you call in, they know, based on your phone number, who you are.
Yes, they do.
And so that's very streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And until you're like me and call them from a different phone.
Give it to you to break the system, right, Aaliyah?
I'm always into finding the bugs. I must break it.
But I have to say, Aaliyah, I've heard some calls that you've had with agents before, and I've heard some calls that other people have had with agents before. And I really have to commend Ira on its call quality to its agents. I mean, they could have come up with some nasty ULAW or ALAW GSM sort of codec solution, but they didn't. It's very nice, very clear. The audio file in me would say it's probably like 22K or something like that. But and you need that clarity, especially in, you know, busy situations or hectic situations where you really need information quickly, because the clearer your calls are, the less you have to ask somebody to repeat themselves, the quicker you can get information. So that
is
something I was really surprised at, pleasantly so.
All right. So we have been talking for quite a while about this. This has been a really nice show, guys. And because there are 8 of us here, we are not going to do picks this week. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. I would encourage you, if you are interested in Ira, to head to ira.io. That's AIRA.io. And check out all the information that's there. They have a YouTube channel. They have a Facebook page, a Twitter handle.
Guys, check out their YouTube channel. If you are looking to be an explorer, look at their YouTube video channel. They really have some touching and just very amazing videos on their channel. I highly recommend you check them out, because I mean, I'm not an explorer currently, and I still might become one, but I really commend them for, you know, they've made some videos showing them helping out veterans and them getting to meet some of the agents that they got to work with that was also a veteran, and that was just very touching, and just different things like that just really blew me away. And so if you're looking into joining Ira as an explorer, check out their YouTube channel. I think it'll make a lot of difference for you.
All right, we're going to interrupt the normal show flow again and provide clarifications from Ira regarding some of the programs that they offer. First of all, the Small Business and Vispero offers are open to subscribers as well as free account holders. Regarding the Vispero offer with JAWS and other products, you can call into Aira to get visual information as to why the product has stopped working. For example, if you have an application that should be working with JAWS, or maybe an application has stopped responding and JAWS has stopped working as a result of that, you could call Aira and get an information for why that Vispero product is not working. To help solve this problem, agents can remote into the user's computer and try to figure out what's going on. If they can't find an answer to that question, they will forward the Explorer on to Vispero technical support. The job seeker promotion is limited to Explorers only, so if you have a free account, this does not apply to you. During the show, we mentioned that the Austria glasses were available with the standard and advanced plans. This is actually not the case. The plans now offer the user the ability to use their phone, and for an optional $25 per month extra fee or $600 one-time purchase, the user can get the Horizon kit from Aira. All right, folks. Once again, we're not doing picks this week. Just way too many of us. So, with that being said, Scott, where can people find you online?
People can find me online. You can feel free to send me an email at scott@iaccessibility.net. You can also follow me on Twitter at Scott Van Gorp, and you can search for me on Facebook. Just search for Scott Heidi Van Gorp.
All right, and Chelsea, where can people find you?
People can find me by sending me an email at Chelsea, that's C-H-E-L-S-E-A, at iaccessibility.net. They can search for me on Twitter at, and no, I haven't changed this, PageBreak2018.
Best Twitter handle ever.
Or they can simply search for me on Facebook, and that is Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, Page, P-A-G-E.
All right. And
is that Facebook or Face Bark?
Face Bark. funnily enough, that wasn't even Chelsea's dog.
Nope.
All right. And Jeff, where can people find you?
People can find me by emailing me at jeff.bishop@iaccessibility.net, or you can follow me on Twitter by simply following Jeff Bishop, J-E-F-F-B-I-S-H-O-P.
And Sarah.
People can email me at sarah@iaccessibility.net, or you can request to follow me at bioinstructor on Twitter. If you request, please send me a message, because that is a protected account.
All right, and Megan.
People can find me producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at Megan, that is M-E-A-G-H-A-N, at iAccessibility.net. You can follow me on Twitter at MeganH13. Again, that is M-E-A-G-H-A-N-H-13.
And Jason.
Alrighty, well, people can find me producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at jason@iaccessibility.net. You can search for me on Twitter at JDE, that is Juliet Delta Echo 91. You can also find me on Facebook, just search for Jason Earls. I do ask, however, that if you find me from social media, to please let me know that you have found me from the IACast Network.
All right, and last but certainly not least, Michael.
Well, you'll be last.
Well, I'm always last if I'm the host.
Right.
But you're the last of the guests.
That's true. So, you can find me producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at mikedoise@iaccessibility.net. That's mikedoise@iaccessibility.net. I'm Mike Doise on Twitter. And you can find me all over the web. Just search for Michael Doise.
All right. And you can find me, Aaliyah Dudley, producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at Aaliyah, that's A-L-E-E-H-A, at iAccessibility.net. And you can follow me on Twitter at BlindCowgirl199. And you're about to hear all the wonderful ways you can find iAccessibility. Please don't forget that if you want to contribute to our show during the show or talk to us throughout the week, head to iAccessibility.net/Slack. That's going to do it for this episode of the IA Cast. I want to thank everybody that was here. This has been a great show. I want to thank all of you for coming out, sharing your perspectives, and sitting with us through this show. It has been a great one. Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye.
This show has been brought to you by the IACast Network. We love hearing from you. Email us at feedback@iaccessibility.net. Got Twitter? Follow us at iAccessibility1. Facebook, search for iAccessibility. Download our free apps for iOS and Android, and keep up with all of our content at iAccessibility.net. If you'd like to donate to our show, hit the PayPal button on our website and get early access to our outtakes with a donation at patreon.com/iacast. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2019, iAccessibility, LLC.